Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, first of all, I want to thank you guys for sending me to Texas. A seed was planted in me from a lady. I don't see her here today, but she came up to me one day, didn't even know me, says, hi. And then she tells me about this person and about Todd. And I said, who's this? I look into it, end up going to school in Texas to Lifestyle Christianity University. My goodness, you guys. Woo! All right. So I was told, so when I went on the week, it was so awesome. I got out of my comfort of Sarita. Okay, so, and then I was asked to bring back a seed. And the seed was that in 1857, the day before the Civil War, there was a man named Jeremiah, and they said, New York, help, we need help. How's this guy? We need help in our city. And so he says, Lord, what am I going to do? And he prays, and he encounters God, like, my goodness. So he starts praying, and then he brings, come on, you guys, let's get together, and we're just going to pray. We just pray. Everybody just prays. Lift up your voice, though, in prayer, each one of us, not so much a teacher, but just people praying. Before you knew it, the whole city was shutting down. They would put lunch at 11:55, and the people were running. Woo, 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 let's go. Where are they going? Where are these people going? So reporter's like, I'm going to go check this out. So he goes over there and he checks it out and he sees all these people and says, well, they're not a teacher, but these guys are praying. What's going on? And so then soon the media caught hold of all these people praying, right? And then the ships coming in from the east on the East Coast where the sailors were hitting their knees and whole ships were giving themselves over to God because of the conviction and the fear of the God from everybody praying. So they asked me to bring to our churches that we need to get together and pray and pray and pray. Not so much Christians teaching Christians anymore because, you guys, it's time. So go ahead and roll the video. This is from what I got. Okay, go ahead and roll the video. Okay, so the dates are wrong because of COVID. So it's going to be June 12th and in Kansas City. And we're going two of us. So I hope we can start a caravan and we can, whoever wants to jump in, I think we should, I'm going to really invite you guys to go. Now I have a question to ask you. How many of you this morning would rather be sitting in jail or in church? And I want us to recall to the time in our life, I'm sure many of us would remember there was a time when Jesus came into our life and Jesus found us. And had not, we would probably be sitting in jail. And quite frankly, I've seen a lot of people in jail a lot more excited that are in church today. I'm calling you out because I've seen many of you get excited over Apple, you know, the stuff we bake or, you know, horns. I heard last week, your side of the church was loud, but our side was quiet. Well, I think it's time but you were there, so your side should be loud. I'm going to call you guys out because I don't think we got to get it going, guys. I'm going to call you out. I've seen you. I know a few of you, and I've seen you all get excited. And if I want you to recall, would you rather be sitting today in jail or in church or in jail? So let's get it going, guys. So amen. Thank you.
Okay. With that, let's go back into worship. Oh, wait, whoa. Okay.
one more thing. Okay, so then the next was about the water fountains. I just remembered, and the late, you guys played the song. So there where we saw we should be walking. Look, when we breathe, we are breathing. Yeshua. Yeshua. All of us, we're Christians. We have Jesus inside of us, so we're breathing. Yeshua. Yeshua. When we walk, we should squeeze. Jesus, Jesus, squeezes. If you want revival, guys, just spin around. The water's there. Let it fall. You guys are fountains of living water. And you guys just let it fall, literally, because it's all you guys. You have it, and you need to share it. All right? All right, guys.
So let me get my composure here. So anyways, what a perfect intro to what God's been showing me. And He's been showing me the same thing, that we need to get on fire for God. And vocally, physically, and spiritually. And God wanted me to read some scriptures to you. from Psalm 37, and it pertains exactly what we're going through now. This is not for the millennial. This is for our time right now. And we can do this. And God has this. There is no fear with God. So what's going on in the world right now? It's all. If you listen to the news, just stop listening to it. Start praying and start praising God, because that's what he wants. He wants us to praise him in this time and not to worry, because worry is from the devil. And there's no place for that in our hearts. And if anyone's worrying about what's going on now, don't, because God has this under control. So Psalm 37 in the Passion Translation, I'm going to read it. It's up on the screen. But just let it sink into your hearts, because this is for us today. So it says, don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment that they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success will soon shrivel up and quickly fade away like grass clippings in the hot sun. That's what's going to happen right now, this week, next week. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. That's all God wants us to do, is trust in him. And when Peter got out of the boat, he asked Jesus if he could get out, and he said yes. And he was walking on the waves. He wasn't walking on water, on the waves. And it was only until he looked at the surroundings, like if you listen to the news, that he sank. And when he sank, God was right there. Jesus picked him up, and they walked on the waves back to the boat. And it wasn't not until they got in the boat that the waves quit. So that's, and no matter what we're going through in life, we can do that, walk on the water. Walk on the waves. So fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Make God. Just what Deborah say. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure in your life, of your life. And he will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life. And that's where we're not doing. The church hasn't been doing that. Let's give God the right to direct our life. Because he is God, and all glory goes to him. And as you trust in him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. Thank you. So, and God's going to pull this whole thing off perfectly in this world. And the church, this is the kingdom of God is in us. And we just have to let it flow out of us, just like Deborah was saying. And once we start doing that and trusting God, we're going to see a whole new thing happen in the church. Just what Jesus promised us, that we'd be doing greater things than he did. He will appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. He will manifest as your justice, as sure as the strong as the noonday sun. Quiet your heart in the presence and pray. And that's what the pastor's been teaching us to do. Quiet your heart in the presence and pray. Keep hope alive as long as you long for God to come through for you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked and their prosperity are better off than you. Stay away from anger and revenge. Keep envy far away from you, for it only leads you into lies. For one day, the wicked will be destroyed. And I believe that's happening. This is a prophecy for us today. And but those who trust in the Lord will live safe and sound with blessings overflowing. And that's how we can walk, blessings overflowing and being safe. Just a little while longer and the ungodly will vanish. And you will look for them in vain. But the humble of heart will inherit every promise and enjoy abundant peace. Let the wicked keep plotting against the godly with all their sneers and arrogant jeers. That's what we're seeing in the news right now today. God doesn't lose any sleep over them, and he knows their day is coming. That's my wife's favorite part of this. God doesn't lose any sleep, so we shouldn't either. Evil ones take aim on the poor and helpless. They are ready to slaughter those who do right. But the Lord will turn all their weapons of wickedness back on themselves, piercing their pride-filled hearts until they are helpless.
It's much better to have a little combined with much of God than to have a fabulous wealth of the wicked and nothing else. For the Lord takes care of all his forgiven ones, while the strength of the evil will surely slip away. Day by day, the Lord watches the good deeds of the godly, and he prepares for them his forever reward. Even in a time of disaster, he will watch over them, and they'll always have more than enough no matter what happens. All the enemies of God will perish, for the wicked have only a momentary value, a fading glory.
Then one day they vanish. And that's our hope and our prayer right now, that the evil of this world, the corruption of the world will vanish, and God will get all the glory. And God has this, and all the glory will go to God, because no man could do this. And they break their promises, borrowing money but never paying it back. The good man returns what he owes with some extra besides. The Lord's blessed ones receive it all in the end, but the cursed ones will be cut off with nothing to show for themselves. And the Bible promises us that the wealth of the wicked will be returned to the just. The steps of the God-pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step they take to follow him. That should be our desire, is that God delights in our steps, seeking after God. If they stumble badly, they will still survive, for the Lord lifts them up with his hands. I was once young, but now I'm old. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him, nor have any other children gone hungry. Instead, I found the godly ones to be generous ones who give freely to others. Their children are blessed and become a blessing. If you truly want to dwell forever in God's presence, forsake evil and do what is right in his eyes. And God's calling the remnant out of the organized religion. It's no longer mixing sin with church anymore. And the Lord loves it when he sees us walking in his justice. He will never desert his devoted lovers. They will be kept forever in his faithful care. But the descendants of the wicked will be banished. The faithful lovers of God will inherit the earth and enjoy every promise of God's care, dwelling in peace forever. God's lovers make the best counselors. Their words possess wisdom and are right and trustworthy. The ways of God are in their hearts, and they won't swerve from the paths of steadfastness. Righteousness. Evil ones spy on godly ones, stalking to find them, something that they could use to accuse them. They are out for the kill. But God will foil all their plots. The godly will not stand condemned, brought to trial. So don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep moving forward steadily in his ways, and he will exalt you at the right time. And when he does, you will possess every promise, including your full inheritance. That's what we need to be praying and seeking God for, our full inheritance right now on earth. And that's his promise to us. You'll watch with your own eyes and see the wicked lose everything. I've already seen this happen. Once I saw a wicked and violent man overpower all who were around him, a domineering tyrant with his pride and oppressive ways. Then he died and was forgotten. No one cares that he is gone forever. But you can tell who are the blameless and spiritual mature. What a different story with them. The godly ones will have a peaceful, prosperous future with a happy ending. Every sinner will be destroyed, obliterated. They'll be utter failures with no future. But the Lord will be the Savior of all who love him. Even in their time of trouble, God will live in them as their strength. That's our promise for us today. Because of their faith in him, their daily portion will be a Father's help and deliverance from evil. This is true for all who hide themselves in him. So I think we should listen to Deborah, but more important, listen to the Lord, and just let's get on fire for God. And I'm someone that just kind of sits quietly and observes and prays God in my own way, but we need to show God that we love him in how he wants us to. So anyways, God bless you all.
Okay.
Okay, I got one more. So when he came, he said, when King Uzziah died, that he said, look, the Lord is still on the throne. So I'm going to encourage you guys as we go into worship that we bring our sacrifice of praise and let him know that we're grateful we're here today and not in jail. Okay, guys? So thank you so much, you guys. And then he says, God is not our way. So if you say, oh, I'm an introvert, but maybe really try being screaming yell because maybe you're actually an extrovert. And if you're, you know what I mean, loud, maybe you got to be quiet because you never know. God is the one who knows us. We don't know us. And maybe you never know. So I just encourage you guys, open up.
Oh, do you know that God will speak to you about the smallest things if you learn to listen for the still, quiet voice? We gotta start learning to quiet the storm that we can hear exactly what he's saying. You know, I was telling my dad, and these are the simplest things. There was a song that I really enjoyed the majority of the song, but the truth is that when I really thought about this song, I was like, you know, it's called Make Room. And I remember I even talked to Brendan about it because I was like, I love this bridge and I want to add it into stuff, but I really don't like the rest of the song. But that song just kept, every time it'd come on, I could just feel it and I loved it, but there was something about the words that just didn't sit right. You know, I'm sharing this story with you because it's something as simple as a song. As I started to say, God, what are you saying to me through this song? Why is it that I'm so drawn to it, even though I feel like there's things in the words that I don't necessarily understand or maybe even agree? And you know, as I just continued to worship to that song and not hold on to any little thing, just worshiped, he revealed it to me. And it was really awesome. Because it was actually two songs I felt this way about, and he talked to me about both of them. But in that song, you know, when I first listened to it, I always thought Make Room sounded like we were too busy in our lives and had too much going on that we had to make room that God could be there. But then when God spoke to me, I realized it had nothing to do with that. In the beginning of the song, it says, here I lay it down, every burden, every crown. And I realized that the making room that they were talking about had nothing to do with, I gotta make some space to allow God to go there. Like in a way that we weren't making time. It actually had to do with us learning to release things in our lives that we hold on to all the time. There's things sometimes that are in our lives that we've made such a big place for them that they're this large weed that now that God's trying to pull it, the roots are so deep, we're holding on to it. And let me tell you, we're in a time right now where it's going to become very apparent whether you are lukewarm, you are cold, or you are hot. And I really think he's starting, those lukewarm, he's really starting to do this moving in there. Because he's like, I don't want you there. You're either going to move to this side or you're going to move to that side. But I need to see it. The Bible tells us that he'll spew them out of his mouth. That he'd rather you be cold than you be lukewarm. Let me tell you, there is blessing in your life. He has placed promises within you as tools that when you come against any storm, when you come against anything, there is nothing that can stop you. You have victory in all things. There is nothing that can come against you that he cannot take care of. He tells you that he fights for you. He tells you that you have already won. If he's defeated death, how much more can you do? We gotta realize that the things he's promised us, the things he's given us, are all things that are meant to come forth. They're meant to be shining bright like a city on a hill. And when we start to do things as little as, God, I don't understand this song, but I feel you're moving in it, and I'm not going to hold on to it. There's something that happens where he begins to just begin to pour in, because instead of holding on to small, silly, ridiculous things, you've allowed him to work. Woo! I don't know who needs this, because I sure did, but I know that God's telling me to share it, because he's saying, there's blessing in your life. I have blessed you. I have blessed your generations. I am continuing to bless you. If you're still here, I still have something for you. So stop acting defeated. Stop acting like I've not done the work already, because I have, and you have victory in Jesus' name. There is no sickness that can come against you. He is the Almighty Counselor. There is no burdens. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, and there is nothing that can come against you. He's wanting you to move. He's wanting you to move into areas you've never been before. If you're comfortable, get ready to be uncomfortable, because he wants to move you into new places. He wants to give you new things, and he can't do it when you're holding on to things that you shouldn't be holding on to. And you gotta get into the word. You gotta go after him. You gotta press in so that he can speak to you. And when he does, you'll begin to realize that those things that seem so hard to get rid of are so easy to let go of. Not because of you, but because of he that is within you.
As Rebecca spoke that message today, the Lord prompted me to read this message that he gave me today, because it contains some of the similar things. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. It is a new day, a new beginning, a fresh start, and a day of worship. Worship the King of Kings. It is time to stand, my children. Stand for the truth. Stand for the light. Stand for the day, because every day will be important now. Will you stand for me? Will you die for me? Or will you cower to the beast? Will you flee? Or will you push back in my name? Will you believe my word or yours? It is time to make a choice. It is time to stand on it. Hot or cold, lukewarm will not cut it in my kingdom. Hot or cold, what is your answer? This is the day I have made. Are you with me or against me? I am the only king that is faithful and true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you trust in me? Do you fear me? Are you ready to come home to me? My sons and daughters, then stand as one body of Christ. Move as one. Seek me, and you shall find me. It is time for the body to rise. It is time to show the world who has conquered death and defeated the enemy. The one who loves with unfailing love. The one who is coming for his pure and spotless bride. Come to me, my children, come. Dine with me daily and submit to my words, and I will dine with you and through you. The revelation will begin anew. I will give you unending joy for all eternity. Does anyone feel like rejoicing?
I just have a quick word also. I just want to say, God is good. Amen. All the time, God is good. You know, just real quick, on December 31st, I was just pondering on the birth of Jesus. And God gave me this. He said, God is able to do the impossible. If he asks us to do something, we should not laugh or doubt, but be willing. I believe God is already asking people to do things, and we ponder them in our hearts, but we don't act. We put them off or too afraid to act. God wants us to have courage. Just like Deborah said today, we need to have courage. It says, you may be ridiculed, but he has plans if you just obey. Somebody needs you to act. Somebody needs you to act. That's what he was telling me. He said, it will bring courage, strength, and peace to them. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. She was considered the least. She was poor, she was young, and she was female, but she was chosen. Don't limit God's choice. Every single one of us is chosen. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship. We're a master work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us in advance. Every one of us is set apart for special service to God to bring him glory. Our testimony alone can set people free and bring hope. And I just want to say that in 2019, from now, I have had medical professionals tell me that I shouldn't be alive right now. I will use my breath to bring glory to the Lord. I believe that the Lord did create me to do great and mighty things on this earth that he prepared in advance for me to do. And I will do it. And the Lord is asking you to take courage. Do not be afraid. Like the Lord told me here, you might be ridiculed. You might be rejected or cast out. But the Lord wants us to take courage, and he will give us the boldness as we stay in his word. The word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's my decision, to praise the Lord, to bring him glory, to give him praise in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 I've been sitting in the corner, and I've been praying. I've been hearing everybody come up and talk and everything that's been said. And I'm going to be honest and tell you that a part of me was like, okay, this is too much talking. This is too much going on. But you know what? The presence of the Lord is here. You guys, he wants to change our hearts. You're in this building for a reason. You're in this building because God has sparked a spark inside of you. He has changed you somehow in some way. He has made a difference. He wants you to come back to him. I'm going to ask you guys to do something completely different. I'm going to ask you to get out of your chairs, to come forward, and let's begin to pray. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to give God what is due to him. You guys want change? You want a difference? You want your situation to look different? I've had I've gone through so many things in my life. I'm 40 years old and people look at me like, there's no way you could have gone through everything that you have gone through. But it is by the grace of God that I still stand here today. It is by the grace of God. Shaka yada yada shaka yada 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 y Lord God, we repent for our complacency, Father. We repent, Lord God, for not looking towards you for everything that you have called us to. Lord God, we invite your presence. We invite your glory into this place, Lord God. We say and we declare today, Father, that you are Lord over our lives, Father. You are Lord, Lord God, of over everything that we have in our circumstances and what's in front of us. We stand today, Lord God, and we declare, Lord, and we believe, Father. We believe, Lord God, that you will see us through all the circumstances and everything that we are doing. Lord God, Guria Shaka Yadaria Shaka Yadarasai, Iano Kuya Nai Shaka Yadara Sita Yaruka Yadara Shakara Shi. Uriya shaka yada ya shaka yada yada shai. Uriya shaka ya yo shita yada da sita roka yada ya kuya shaka yada da si. We declare and we decree today that enemy, you no longer have authority over our lives. You no longer have authority over our children. You no longer have authority, Lord God, over our relationships, over our husband and over our wives. I pray for freedom, Lord God. I pray for freedom. We pray against that spirit of fear. Fear, you will no longer have control. We pray for peace. We pray for guidance, Lord God. We pray for authority, Father. I pray, Lord God, that your words, cut into your wisdom, Lord God, that your music would begin to flow in this place, that there will no longer be any boundaries, Lord God. I pray for clarity over this young man, Lord God. I pray that your presence would go from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. What you have put inside of him, Lord God, would come forth, Lord God. Rivers. There's rivers of water that are going to begin to come out now. There's rivers, there's songs that I have placed inside of myself. There are songs that I have put in you, and those songs, it is time to release them. Don't hold back anymore from what I have put inside of you. It is time. It is time to release. Let go of what is being said in your mind and in your heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We glorify your name, God. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord. All that you're doing, Lord. All that you're doing, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We have a just God. He loves justice and he likes mercy. So what he wants us to do, as we go and we go to the judge and we say, we want justice. We want whatever the enemy has stolen from us, that we want justice and we want it back in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us justice.
Thank you,
and we are
Lord,
not receiving
you,
it because we need to go to the judge.
Thank
and
you,
just
Lord,
have the peace and rest that the judge knows exactly what he wants to do in each of our lives. So stop looking at the things, not your way, not their way, but it's his way.
Thank you,
and that's
Lord.
How
yes,
we need
Lord.
To look at it. And when
yes.
we go to the judge for justice, he is faithful to give it to us.
Yes, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory
I felt
God.
Like the Lord was
thank you, Jesus.
Speaking
thank you.
To me when somebody was up here praying in tongues. I wasn't even looking, but I felt like the Lord was saying, rend me your heart, not your garments. I feel like he said, I want your best. I don't want your second best. the sacrifices that were offered to him long ago before the Lord. They offered the first fruits of the best. God wants the best of us. God wants us first. He wants us to place him first.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't want us to be complacent anymore and to treat his presence like it's not there, like it doesn't matter. His mercies are new every morning, every day, but we're not to take advantage of it. He says, choose today whom you'll serve, because tomorrow is not promised.
Since I got here today, I felt his presence. I went back in that corner back there, and I just with him this morning. You know, God tells us that life and death is in the power of your tongue. The enemy's been trying to cover our mouth already. He's put a mask in your mouth, but you know what God is saying? I want you to speak. I want you to speak to that mountain, and I want you to command it to move in your house. What is it in your house that needs to move? What needs to go in your home? Have you spoken to it yet? Have you covered your house? Have you covered your house? What's coming into your house that shouldn't be coming into your house? What is in the house? What's in your home? Is there fear in your home? Are you fear of COVID? Have you got the oil anointed every window, every door, and say, COVID, you're not allowed in my house. You're not allowed in my family. You're not allowed here. Cover your home. God is saying, you know what? I've given you power. I've given you authority to do this. He goes, I put the enemy underneath your feet. I've given you a voice. I want you to use it, he's telling us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down the strongholds, casting out arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is exalting itself against the knowledge of God? What is it? What is it? Pull it down. Where's your kids? Say, you know, God, I pull down every stronghold in my son, in my daughter, in my granddaughter, and my friends. I pull those strongholds down, Lord. I don't know what they are, Father God, but I pull them down in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say, you come down in Jesus' name. You no longer live in my family. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. We have a mouth, people. We need to use it. We need to pick up the word of God and open it up and say, okay, God, I'm going not just going to hear your word anymore. I'm going to be a doer of your word. You know, to me, this is pretty awesome to see everybody come up here and do something different. That is awesome. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to step out of the seats. For the longest time, I've been hearing Rebecca over and over since I've been coming. She goes, you guys, come up, jump, dance, sing. And we stay right there. We don't even move. You know, I haven't played drums in a long time. And you know what? I don't mind playing drums. But before, when I used to play drums, and that was it. That was the whole thing in my life was, you know what? All I want to do is play drums. You know what it is now? I want to hear the sermon. I want to hear what God wants to say. I got to hear the sermon. At any time there is a testimony, I'm going to tell you right now, people. Anytime there is a testimony, you got to sit at the end of your seat and you got to see, okay, if somebody says, you know what, I just got delivered from cancer, say, oh, take that from me, Lord. Or I'll take it from my daughter. Or I'll take it from my friend. We need to be at the end of our seats listening to what God is saying, because God wants to do it again. Again. Love you guys.
God, that must be my cue. Praise God, how they want to hear a sermon. Thank you guys. Hey, keep worshiping God in your hearts, and if you want, you can sit down, you can lay down, you can crash out, I mean, whatever you want to do. But I thank God for what he's doing. I know that some of you might be thinking, uh-oh, Henry's lost the service. And I said, you know, that's okay. I believe in turning things over to the Holy Ghost. How many of you say amen to that? I believe that God has more to say to us than we can imagine. I believe that God is calling us to look, to place our focus on the kingdom of God. I got a scripture. Abe, can you put up Isaiah 42, verse 19, I think it is. I want you to look at this scripture because it's important that I believe God is speaking this to the body of Christ today. that our, you know, the scripture does tell us to set your affection on things above. How many say amen to that? And I mean, so the things going around you, what you see with your eyes, the word of God says we don't walk by sight. Is that right? We walk by faith. And here's a scripture that I've been talking to some guys about, but God keeps giving it to me this morning. So I can sense that God is saying this to us this morning. And it says, who is blind but my servant? Or who is as deaf as my messenger that I sent? Amen. How many of you are sent by God? How many of you are servants of God? Hallelujah. And who is as blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? God is saying something to you. You know what? Don't look at what's going on around you. Look at the kingdom. The kingdom of God will give you joy, peace, and all those other things where this world or everything going around us today can tear out, try to tear that out of you. Do you know that the enemy is trying to shut you down? Do you know that? Do you know that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy who you are in Christ? Do you know that? Hallelujah. I was just walking the other day looking at our freeway. Well, I wasn't walking on the freeway, but I noticed on the way in, so I was walking, I said, God, that freeway in front of we'll take authority over that thing. The enemy cannot come to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot. And it's gotta stop. There's things that we look at as the children of God. How many say amen to that? We look at certain things in the kingdom. When God shows you something, look at it. See what he's saying to you, okay? Don't ignore the things that God might be saying to you. Sometimes you have a tendency to kind of, I don't know, I think of, whatever. Maybe that's not God, it's just me. A lot of times it's not just you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. So I believe he's speaking to us stronger and stronger today than he ever has. How many of you say amen to that? Do you know that there's a way to look at all the things that's going on around us without getting involved in it? Do you know that there's a way to do that? Do you know that God wants to strengthen you by his Spirit so that you know you have an answer for whatever's happening? Amen? How many of you are asking God, God, what's going on? Anybody, have you said that to the Lord lately? Have you just said, God, what's going on? What is this? What are you doing? I believe that he is pulling the church into a different position. How many say amen to that? I believe that we are in the midst of a major change. How many say amen? Hallelujah. There are things happening that have happened that I've ever seen. I've never seen some of the things happen. I've never seen people at our White House doing what they're doing. I've never seen, how many have ever seen that before? Never, never, never have I seen that. How about just wearing masks and the lines that are at a place where they want to give you antidotes or what do they call them? Vaccines. Yeah, thank you. I mean, how about all those lines? You know what? You know what? We're seeing some different things. Things are changing. And folks, we got to be ready. We got to be listening and watching. Amen. Hallelujah. God gave me some dreams the other day, and I'm still telling God, I see that, vivid dreams about this place, and I'm saying, God, you better show me, Lord, before I spill my heart on it, I want to know what you're saying about this. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you know, how many know it's important that you hold what God has given you till it's at the right time? Do you know that? God has a time and a place for everything. Do you know that? So get used to that. I'm going to try to give you the word of God that God gave me this weekend for you this morning so you can go out of here with a word. But man, how many of you got ministered to already this morning? I'm going to tell you what, praise God. God is doing something. And hallelujah, God is wanting every one of you to stand up and say, hey, man, I got a word, man. All right? Don't be afraid. Don't be selfish. I said that before. Don't be selfish. How many shellfish are in here? No, I was just kidding, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you will, I'm going to take you to John chapter 7, if you will. Hallelujah. Man, it's feeling pretty good in here, man. I got to say something. I say, God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I try not to be the ringleader. How many things are you guys okay with that? I don't want to be the ringleader. I want the Holy Ghost to be the ringleader. So somebody comes up to me and says, hey, man, can I do that? I said, go do it, man. What the heck? What are you asking me for? I'm not in charge here. Isn't that right, Monica? Isn't that right? I'm not in charge. Come on, man. And I understand what's going on. I do understand your heart. But glory to God. Hallelujah. Try to get you out for your football game. Amen? Nobody said amen. Hallelujah. Whew, you're a tough crowd. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would reveal to us the thing that you have for us. Thank you for what you've given us thus far, Father. But Lord, give us an understanding. Give us an open vision, Father God, of what you've done in our lives and how important we are on this planet, God. We thank you for it. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to start at John chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 14. At this point, Jesus has already had turned water into wine. And a nobleman of Capernaum's son was sick, and Jesus healed him without even going over there. And a man at the pool of Bethesda had been out there 38 years. Jesus spoke to him and healed him. And then at that time, the Jews began to accuse Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. How many of you know that they were after him? They said, man, you are no good, buddy. You healed on the Sabbath. Yeah. And so by the time where we get into the story, he's already fed 5,000. He's been doing miracles like crazy. He walked on the water for the disciple in front of the disciples in that cone. He had Peter get out of the boat in there, I see. He had him get out of the boat. By this time, when we're going into this, and then he had also said to them, he says, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Where at that time, a lot of people quit following him because they said, man, this is a hard saying. We don't get what he's saying. How many know that God sometimes, Jesus says, it takes revelation from God to understand some of the things God is saying to you. How many say amen to that? How many want God to speak to you? How many are looking for God to speak to you? I mean, because I'm going to tell you something. If there's anything that we need today, is God to be speaking to us about who we are today. Who is it that said we don't have tomorrow? Somebody said that. We don't have tomorrow. Who was that said that? Yeah. You know what? We don't have tomorrow. How many know that? We've got no tomorrow. Because every day is today. All we got is right now, today. Amen? Hallelujah. You might say, well, I'm going to go change my oil in my truck tomorrow. Yeah. All you got is right now. You can make plans, but all you got is right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't. So when he said these things, the revelation has, you know, I mean, it was hard for a lot of people. A lot of people left him. And they said, man, these things are too hard to understand. He's crazy. He's a cannibal, whatever. But a lot of folks left, and he asked the apostles, well, are you guys going to leave? And Peter said something very important. He says, hey, you're the only one of the words of eternal life. They had seen all these miracles. They had seen everything that they'd been with Jesus. So they go, oh, man. They said, man, where else can we go? Amen? I remember things got kind of hard with my wife and I one time. And I said, you know what? Babe, are you ready to stop? She goes, yeah, but where are we going to go? I go, that's a good question. Yeah, where can you go to get away from the Lord? Is that right? Can't get away from him. How many know that his call is always on you? He's called every one of us, not just me. He's called everyone in this building and everyone in this. There's a calling on the body of Christ today. Amen. The body of Christ, listen, the body of Christ has to be under the authority of the head. Amen. Who's the head? Jesus is the head. So it's important that we listen to what he's got to say and we go after him and say, God, what are you saying? So we're going to start here and it's some reading, and it's going to take a little bit of time. I hope we got enough time. 3 o'clock will be fine. Yeah, I'm always telling you that, but maybe today might get serious. Amen. Praise God. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple. Oh, but one more thing too. His brothers, even his family told him, hey, if you're who you say you are, you need to get down to the feast. And Jesus goes, no, you guys go down. He tells you guys go down there. I'm not going to go down there yet. If you read that, if you get a chance to read, it's in John chapter 7. I like that he said yet. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to go down there. And then he went. No, he said, I'm not going to go down there yet. Because he wouldn't lie to them. Amen. He was going to go, but he did. But so he threw yet in there. You know, I'm just like you do. You know, are you ready to go? No, I'm not ready yet, but I'm going. Is that right? You're going. All right. So his brothers had even accused him of not. See, they didn't believe who he was. And yet he had done all these miracles and everything. The whole scenario in Israel was changing because of him. Amen. Don't you think that it's time that this whole scenario in Green Valley, Sahuarita, Tucson, Nogales should be changing because of the body of Christ? The whole scenario should change. Is that right? Because the body of Christ, I believe God is raising her up. She's going to become more prominent and more visible than we've ever been before. Ever been before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you might not agree with that, but it's okay. I don't care. Praise God. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They recognized that he was different. Jesus answered them and said, the doctrine is not mine, but it's his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he will know the doctrine, whether he be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's going to take you just to say what you got to say, whether they like it or not. How many say that? Is that right? Hallelujah. A lot of people say things that they want to say because it's going to make them look good. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes you're going to have to say some things that God has told you to say. And guess what? It's going to make you look funny. Amen? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be criticized? Are you ready? Because if they've done it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. If the Spirit of God is working in your life, do you know that? They're going to think you're crazy. They got to get loco. That guy's weird, man. Is that right? They are not going to be able to resist the Spirit by where you are working by, if it's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said that. He goes, hey, if he's doing it for himself, it'll show. But if he's doing it for the glory of God, you watch what happens. Did not Moses give you the law and none of you keep the law? Why do you go about to kill me? Jesus is coming after them. He said, why are you going about to kill me? And the people answered and said, you have a devil. Who is going about to kill you? How many know they're after him to kill him? How many know that? They wanted to kill him. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Jesus is bringing something to the... They were accusing him, hey, man, he did it on the Sabbath, man. You can't do that. You're working on the Sabbath, and you have broken the law of Moses. And now Jesus is coming back to them, and he's saying, hey, man, you circumcised a guy on Sabbath day for the law of Moses, and I've made somebody completely whole, and you are mad at me for that? And then he tells him this, judge not according to the appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. You see that? He said, judge a righteous judgment. How many of you know today that you are supposed to judge things in the earth today? Do you know that? Well, I'm going to bring that to you anyway. You should know that, because God is calling you to judge things, to look at things and say, okay, that's not of God, because I know in my spirit that that's incorrect. Or that's right. This is what God is doing. How many say amen to that? God's called you to do that. He really has. Judge righteous judgment. Then some of them of Jerusalem said, is not this he whom they seek to kill? See, now here they're saying, hey, this is the one they're wanting to kill. Earlier they said, hey, here you go. Who's trying to kill you? And now they say, isn't this the one that they were trying to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is, from where he is. And Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I came not of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. I love Jesus, man. I love the way he confronts them. And then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Can I tell you that things happen according to God's timeline? Is that right? Not ours, not yours. You can't force things to happen. How many of you say amen to that? It's according to his timeline. If you do according to what he tells you to do, you're going to be right on the timeline. Do you understand that? Because he's telling you to do it. You're not being forced or coerced by somebody to come and say, hey, man, come and do this, come and do that. You have to do what God tells you to do, and that's it. Amen? If I come and tell you, you know what? You got to come and clean my yard right now. You can tell me no. Amen? If God hasn't told you to do that. Amen? You got to do what God tells me to keep working on this back room back here. You know, I like that song where it said we're going to create a room. Is that right? Is that what we sang this morning? We're going to create a room. And I'm still working in the back there, and I'm enjoying it. We're down to 9 lanes. 9 lanes. Ooh. Come on. We've done some stuff. Because he's instructing. He's telling you got to do what God tells you to do. If God don't tell you to come over here and work with me, don't come. Because if he didn't tell you, forget it. But if you inside your heart say, hey, man, you know what? God, are you want me to? Yeah, okay, all right. I don't want to go, but I'll go. Come on, man. Amen? Hallelujah. See, it's not my business to tell you what to do. I won't do that. Never will. And if God does it, if God wants me, I'll have to say, God, you're going to have to find somebody else because I'm not going to tell folks what to do. I will share your word. It's a little different than what we're used to. It's a little different than our tradition, amen? It's a little different. You see, I'm not the great shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. That's not me. I am. John, what'd you say? One of the dogs.
The pointer.
Pointer to Jesus. That's who I am. I just pointed to Jesus. You come to me and say, you got a problem. You got a problem. I got a problem. Go over there, man. Find God, man. Get on your knees. Find God, man. See, it's a difference. There's a difference because God is calling each and every one of us personally as a member of the body of Christ to do what he has for us. Amen? If you're going through a problem, you're going through, hey, look, I'll pray for you. We'll send it on the prayer team. We'll put it out there. But I will tell you something. If you're not praying, if you're not going to God, God is calling you to his presence. He really is. Hallelujah. Praise God, he heals you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got it. But still, all in all, God is saying, I want to know you. I need you to come here. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. It's all different. I used to be in the Catholic Church. We used to go to the priest and tell him our sins and give us penance. And there you go, say your 10 Hail Marys and your 500 Our Fathers, and you're done. Because, you know, the worse you did, the more you got. No, yeah. It's different. The kingdom of God is a glorious kingdom. How many say amen to that? It's glorious. Shouldn't be heavy on you. Shouldn't be. It should be something you do out of your heart because you love God. Amen? Hallelujah. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Now, there's got some folks realizing this is him. Is there anybody going to come do better than him? Man, this guy's doing it, man. That's the Christ they're after. And the Pharisees heard. How many say that? The Pharisees heard. How many think the Pharisees were following him around? They were. They wanted to hear. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. The JBI. I'm just kidding. I've been around. The Jewish Bureau of Investigation. How's that? Okay. Anyway, they sent these guys to take him. And then Jesus said to them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go to him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, there you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where will he go that we will not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come? And the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This is our power verse right here. And then it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. How many say amen? Amen. Not trickles. Not rills. Remember I taught about what a rill was? I didn't know what a rill was. Not R-E-A-L, R-I-L-L, rill. And I had to go, I heard it in my spirit. I said, a rill. I went and looked it up. I said, oh, a rill is a very, very, very small capillary type trickle. It's very small. That's a rill. This doesn't talk about rills. A rill is something, actually, it'll start as a rill, and then it'll start eating out, and before you know it, you got a little valley, and then more water goes through it, and you get more water. You know how that goes, and erosion happens, and then all of a sudden, you got this canyon where all the water runs through. But a rill is a very small place. Can I tell you, that's how the Word of God starts with us? It's a rill. It comes in very small, but then it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Before you know it, it's a flow. Is that right? And then it says here, Jesus said, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. How many say amen to that? How many want those waters of rivers to be flowing out of you? Hallelujah. The sermon today is called, Expose. What's that? Overflow, expose. What's an expose? It's something that's exposed. Is that right? Been something that's exposed. And this river is intended to expose, if you will. Is that okay? Come on, hallelujah. We'll get to that a little bit better. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I need to tell you, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is the feast that he went down to visit. And this is the feast that they would put up booths and they'd stay in the booths. Then they're being reminded of when Israel was in the wilderness, I'm sorry. And they were, they had put up little shelters and they were staying in shelters. So the Jews were, this was the Feast of Tabernacles. They would build these little booths and they'd stay in them all week. And then the last day of the feast, there was a rock that they had set out there. And they would take, the priest would come with water and they would pour this water over this rock. Amen? How many know the Bible says that the rock was Christ? Is that right? You guys know that, right? And this water that they're pouring out, and it was significant to the flow of the things of the Spirit of God. How many say amen to that? So here this is what there's, and Jesus, I can imagine him looking at it, and I can see him, oh yeah, come on, man. All right. He goes, man, you know what? Hey, he that's thirsty, let him come to me. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that upset those guys? What? You? Come on, man. He's going, oh, yeah, come to me. Out of me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Woo, man, hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody here? Yeah. Come on. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. But he spoke this of the Holy Spirit, which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet, not a prophet, the prophet. Amen. Moses talked about the prophet that's going to come. And they knew, and they said, this is him. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now you got to remember that the CBI was there looking at him, watching him, so they could capture him and arrest him. You remember that? They were sent to go do that. Has not the scripture said that Christ comes of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? God's timing. Amen? Then came the officers, the chief priests, and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why have you not brought him? Verse 46 says this, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. How many say amen to that? Abe, can you put that up in different translations for us? Just so you can just kind of get the... Never man spake like this man. Here's a There's the King James Version. Here is the TPT. So the answer is that you don't understand. He speaks amazing things like no one else has ever spoken. I believe what the way the TPT is saying it here, these guys were, wow, this guy's different. He's speaking different. Amen? He's speaking amazing things. King James says, well, he spake like no other man spake. That's kind of weird, huh? Yeah. Look at the NIV. It says, no one ever spoke the way this man does. The guards replied, amen? Look at the next verse. This is the Amplified. The guards replied, never at any time has a man talked the way this man talks. Isn't that cool? Yes. They saw something. The CBI, or JBI, or whatever. Yeah, JBI. They saw, man, there's something different about this guy, man. And they didn't want to arrest him. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Then he says, have any of the rulers, they answered and said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? I like it, what they said right there, because Nicodemus was there. How many say amen to that? Nicodemus was standing right there. Anyway, he said, has any of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. See, their whole focus was the law. For the law of the Spirit of life was standing right in front of them. Isn't that cool? And they couldn't see it. And then it said, Nicodemus said to them, he's the one that came to Jesus by night. Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, are you also of Galilee? Oh, man. How many of you say amen? Some things are just obvious. Amen? And are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went home to his house. That's crazy, huh? I love when Jesus confronts. I mean, take a look at John chapter 5, John chapter 8, go into those scriptures and watch when Jesus confronts the Pharisees. It's amazing to hear what he says. It really is. And I can see what those guards would say, man. Hey, nobody's ever talked like this guy. Hey, Fred, go arrest him. I ain't going to arrest him. You arrest him. No, man. Hey, no. Jimmy, come here, man. Yeah, go arrest him. You got your handcuffs? Yeah, go get him. I ain't touching him, man. I think, hey, man, you're the boss. So they went back. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that cool? Because you know what? His time wasn't yet. You know, there's people that are worried about getting sick and all this. You know what? Your time's not yet. Don't worry about it. God's in charge of all that. How many say God is in charge? How many know that? He's in charge. He really is. I want to take you right. I just want to get you back to that, to where he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. A righteous judgment. Can I tell you, whenever you see judgment in the scriptures, take a look at it, you're always going to find righteousness somewhere around it. Is that okay? Because you know, can anybody tell me what it means to be righteous? What does that mean? Right. It's just right. Yeah, right with God. That's all it is. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Righteous. That's all it is. Right with God. So I want to just give you a couple of scriptures. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 14 and 15. Here's the word says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. What good thing? Here's that good thing. In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Do you see what it's saying? God's promise of Jesus was happening. Amen? He says, this guy, he says, he will execute what? Judgment and righteousness. He did it everywhere he went. Everything that look at all the occasions that he's walking, that you'll see all the different stories. The woman at the well, the lady that was going to be stoned to death, all those, he's exercising righteousness and judgment in all those things. Isn't that cool? He told those guys, hey, you got the first stone, throw it. Let's see what happens to you. Hey, man, I wonder what would have happened if one of those guys would have thrown a rock at that woman. I think the Lord would have had to go, whoo, pop. right in the head. I don't know. Right back down. I don't know. But praise God. He says, look at, let's look at Jeremiah 36. Was that one? 23:5 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will call, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute what? Judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, look at that. Do you see that little phrase, in his days? Do you know that we're still in his days? Do you know that? Because we are the kingdom of God on the earth. We are still in his days, shall Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called Lord our righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, you've got righteousness working within you. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that you got judgment working within you? Yeah, you do. Hallelujah. Watch this. John chapter 7, verse 24. That's that scripture. He says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I'm talking to you. I feel the Lord is saying to you, you need to look at this and say, judge your righteous judgment. How do you get to the righteous judgment? How do you get it? How can you get righteous judgment rather than your own judgment? How many know we judge all the time? Is that all right? Yeah. I look at a TV commercial and I'll go, yeah, they have to shut it off. Always judge. How many judging all the time? Everything we look at, we have a naysayer, whatever. How many say amen to that? Is that true or not? You're always doing it. But God says, I want you to do righteous judgment. Is that cool? All right. So how do you do it? How do you get to it? Jesus, before he was dying, before he went to the cross, he's talking to his apostles. He's very concerned. I mean, I don't want to say concerned, but I would say he's very, very on point about what he's teaching them. And he says, look, you're going to get a comforter that's going to come and he's going to help you. I'll send him to you. I have to go, but I'll send him to you. Is that okay? Do you understand, guys? No, we don't get it. Well, that's okay. I'm going to send him to you. Hallelujah. His name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to John chapter 16, verses 17 through 14. He says, he shall glorify me is what Jesus is talking about, the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. What are you talking about? The things that God has for you that he's given to Jesus, he said he's going to show you those things. Is that cool? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Can I tell you there's things that God has for you you don't even know about? Can I tell you that? I was talking to a Bible study one night, and I said, there was a word that I said, inscrutable things. And I stopped. I go, I don't even know what that word means. So I told, hey, man, hey, so one of the young ladies in the Bible study, she says, well, let me look it up. How you spell it? Like, I don't know. Unscrutable. And she looked it up. You know what it means? Hidden. It means hidden things. Out of my belly came a little burp of the word of God. And I said, it's hidden things. Yeah, God has hidden things. Jesus says, he will show. Who's going to show them to you? Your next door neighbor? Brother Bob on the front row? Who's going to show them to you? The Holy Ghost is going to show them to you. He wants to bring them to you. There are things that he has, listen to this word, pre-planned for you. Is that okay? Prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. Where was I? All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said I, that he shall take of mine, I shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, you shall see me. See, it's some of the things of God are just, you know, when you're looking at it, when he was telling them, you say, man, yeah, I could see why they would ask him, but they didn't know that he was going to die and be resurrected from the dead, did they? They didn't get it when he told them. They said, no, man, you don't want to do that. God, you know, they didn't get what he was saying to you, to them. How many say amen to that? Some of you are saying, right now, Henry, I don't get what you're saying at all. Yeah, just let the Holy Spirit take it, okay? Hallelujah. And I'm not worried about it. He says, and you shall see me. And some disciples said that, hey, what does he mean by that? And you shall see me. And he said, because I go to the Father. And the next verse, is that it? Yeah. Because I go to the Father. Hey, I must not have given you everything. 16, 17. Is this all the way? 7 through... Where do we start on this, Mia? We start on 14? Hey, go back. Start on 7. Can you go back, Abe? I want you to see this. Sorry about that. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Let me say amen to that. We said that already. Okay, nevertheless, I mean, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. How many say amen to that? Do you understand what he's saying when he says, I will reprove you of sin, righteousness, and judgment? I was studying growth for my young people at First Assembly. I was studying growth. And while I was studying, the Lord said something to me. He said, Henry, this is a growth scripture. I said, growth scripture. Okay. And when I heard that, I said, well, is there more growth scripture? Growing scriptures. Is there more? And he says, yeah, there's more. I'll show them to you. And there's even a growth book. I said, I didn't know that. He knows that. He knew I didn't know that. He said, but he showed me this is a growth scripture. There's scripture that says, you know, the Father, you know, where he says, he that, it's in John, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's a growth scripture. You receive him, he gives you power, and you become a son of God. Is that okay? Growth scripture. There's another one, I think it's a... It says that we are, where the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Is that okay? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Growth scripture. These are given to me by the Holy Ghost, okay? That's because I asked them. I said, show me. He showed me the book of 1 John is a growth book. It gets stronger and stronger as you get to the end. How many of you ever looked at it that way? You look at it that way now, you'll see at the beginning, you come in, anyone about, you know, the Word of God talks about sin in your life, but as you go through it, you're going to find out that the Word of God in that book says that he that sins is not of God. Is that all right? So it's actually a growth book. It teaches you about growth in your spirit. So take a look at it that way when you get a chance, okay? But this one here is a growth scripture. It talks about sin, righteousness, and then judgment. God wants to remove all the sin from you. And the only way that you can do it is you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Cool. Isn't that right? Is that how you got in? That's how I got in. I accepted what Christ did for me on the cross. The Bible says there was a great exchange. My sin for what? For his righteousness. He placed his righteousness on me as my sin went on him. Is that okay? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So now there's this great exchange. Now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say amen. You should be better than that. You should be saying, yeah, come on. That's me. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Something that no friend could ever do for you. Only Jesus. That's why we serve only Jesus. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And then he says, of righteousness and then of judgment. Is that right? I've been waiting to do this because Johnny, come here, man. Rick, come here. Hank, come here, bro. Put down your book. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Isaiah 28. And you know which one I'm talking about, isn't that right? Yeah, I'm going to move this back just a little bit. I want you to look at the scripture. This is God talking. In Isaiah, he says, aren't you glad God saved you?
Amen.
Are you? It doesn't say that there, but aren't you glad God saved you? Amen. And aren't you glad he brought you into the things of him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's got so much more for you, folks. He really does. So it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. What? A stone. So right there, with that verse right there, what's he doing? He says, I'm building. I am building. How many say amen?
Amen.
How many want to be built up and strong in the Lord?
Amen.
God is a builder. He really is. He's not somebody that tears things down. He will tear down the things that are contrary to him that's in you. How many say amen to that? How many say, God, tear them down, God? Hallelujah. There's some folks that don't want those things torn away because they think they're good. They think they like them. They kind of like them. They've gone accustomed to them. But God in our world today is saying, I'm tearing them down. Will you yield to what my spirit is doing for you? So anyway, he says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Let's just say that there's a great cornerstone right here, sitting right here. Can you imagine it? I need somebody to come and lay down. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. And he said, there's a stone. He says, I lay a stone. His name is Jesus. Is that right? He's a rock. He is the rock. He is the cornerstone of the temple, right? The builder rejected him. Is that right? But here God says, I'm building something. I'm going to build. And he says, he's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Amen? A sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment will I lay to the line. Amen? Amen? So God is talking about something. He's talking about judgment. All right? So, Hank, you take this. And so let's say there's a rock there, and they're going to be laying some... Uh-oh, got tangled up. Does that happen a lot, John? Let's say, you know what this line is for? This line is for level. That's what this line is. You know, if you're going to build a wall, you want it. Yeah. You don't want it this way, do you? You want to build that thing level, right? And then the word of God says that there is righteousness is. So you guys might come down with that a little bit because we'll give. John's a little shorter than I am. John, show us how to use this. Tell us what it is.
Sure, a lot of you know what it is. It's a plumb bob. Because of the weight of it, it's got to find that perfect spot where it aligns itself in this direction. And so there's just one little perfect spot right there, if you were to measure, that this thing needs to settle. And there it is. Perfect. Perfect alignment.
Just tell them again.
One more time? Okay. This is the plumb bob. It's called the plumb bob, and surveyors use it. I used to be one. And because of the weight and because of the shape, it's got to find, you'll notice the point at the end, very fine point. So it finds a perfect spot that it has to settle at. And so when you have that specific spot, there's only one little spot there. Now it's in alignment upwards, if you want to call it. And of course, these gentlemen have the level going this way. So this thing here has no choice but to align itself upwards.
All right. That's good, man. All right. So right now, hold on. Stay right there. I'm going to stay right there with you. Hold your line up there. I want you to look at this. The Word of God says this. I will. He says, go ahead and put your line up. Just hold it there.
Oh, just hold
it. Yeah, you might get tired. But because that thing really is, it really is heavy. It's a nice, I mean, I was using, never mind. Anyway, so judgment will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. I want you to look at the plummet is representing the righteousness of God. Notice that it goes where? Up and down. Is that right? It's righteousness comes from above. And that's what Jesus has placed within us. And because of that righteousness that's in your life, it gives you an ability to judge. Is that okay? Because the righteousness is the plumb bob. And now you've got this. Now, Rick, hold it to your belly button, okay? And you hold it to your belly button. Now get that line up there. Is that crooked? It is, isn't it? Why? It's a little lower on that side, right? See, and this is a whole thing. God is for fairness. God is looking at us by righteousness, you deal in fairness with everyone around you. Is that right? Judgment, he'll lay to the line. Can I tell you, the minute you start judging people or saying things about people or saying, I don't care who it is. I caught myself saying stuff about Mrs. Pelosi. And the Holy Ghost got all over me, man. I didn't call you to do that. That's not me. That's you. And you died, remember? Yes, sir. I sure did. You see, that was judgment. God works judgment within all of us. Amen? How many say amen to that? Are you glad? Because God is doing something. He's building something. He is creating a kingdom on the earth that is like no other kingdom this world has ever seen. It doesn't operate the way the world operates. You can put those down. You can go ahead and just leave it right there. Just set it down so I can fall over it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Do you understand that God is saying, I'm building something, and it's going to take righteousness and judgment for you to get in line? Is that right? He will level you. He'll place within you. How many sense when you're doing something wrong, you know it? How many of you ever said this? Well, I know I shouldn't say, but. How many say that? Anybody? Come on. Come on. Yeah, you can be honest. Yeah, praise God. You know what? That is something within you God is saying coming after. He says, yeah, you shouldn't say. So don't. Amen? Hallelujah. It's important that we understand who we are in this kingdom. We are sons and daughters of God. We are the design that God created to be on the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. And he said that he sent the Holy Spirit into our lives. What for? To do exactly that. To align us between us and God and then with men. Is that right? Notice that those lines cross. I mean, no, that's a cross. Jesus. Amen? The line up and down. Coming across. That's what God has called us to. It's the cross. Jesus said, take up my cross. Follow me. Amen? Hallelujah. Now watch this. Watch this. He sent us the Holy Spirit for what? Now this is the whole thing. This is because I am after your gifts. Can I say that to you? Yeah, I'm after yours. I'm after your giftings. I'm after the things that God has placed within you. You might not even know. But I want you to look at the scripture here. Check out the scripture right here. Put that back up, Abe. Judgment will I lay the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of what? Have we been getting some lies here lately? Come on, man. I mean, it seems like lies roll off of people's tongue like nothing. How do you say that? You know why? Because there's no fear of God in their eyes. People that will lie and lie and lie again and build on that lie and add a few more lies to that, stop. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to speak truth one to another. If you got something that you don't know is right and sure, just don't say it. Don't say it. You could be damaging somebody else's spirit, their soul. You could be damaging what God is trying to do just by your little stuff that you're saying. Is that right? So you got to be careful about what you say. Hallelujah. How many know that? How many know that's true? How many know that our mouths, I mean, we're created in the likeness of God. Is that right? So the word, God's created everything with words. So we got to be careful of what we're saying. Amen? Come on, man. It's not hard. Hallelujah. It's judgment, I'll lay to the line. Hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. I had a dream one day. I had driven in my old Chevy. Anybody ever seen my old Chevy? Yeah. I was driving up this mountain. And he's running good. Got my arm hanging out, driving up there. Woo, man, get up at the top of this mountain, find a nice place to park. It's a 55 Chevy two-door sedan. I get out of park, get out, and I look. You know how you get out and you look at your car? Yeah, I like that. Okay. It's in a good place. No, anyway, the dream, I was driving the car, and I drove up this mountain. Just kept going around, got up to the top, got out, walked over to the railing, looked down, and there was a bunch of people sitting with a dead stare on their, and there was down at the bottom, there was a guy talking, preaching. That's all I could hear. Next thing I know, you know, dreams are, next thing I know, I'm like in a hallway that's down at the bottom of this thing, and I could see the man on the pedestal, and he's. I realized, I don't even know how I realized it, but it's almost like the Lord said, this is Mormon. These are Mormons. And this guy's like, so I got on my knees in that dream and started praying. It started raining. It started hailing. And people were running and scurrying all over the place. And I'm speaking God's word. God, according to your word, according to your word. And looks at So I believe that the hail breaks the refuge of lies. The word of God will break the refuge of lies. Do you see that? And then it says, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. This is the last I'm going to tell you because I know it's getting late. It's already 12:21. No, it's only 12:07. Everybody looking at them. What? I got a roast. Amen. Check this out. I know that what Jesus said when he says, out of your innermost being, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I know. I know that what that does, it uncovers things that are within you. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an unveiling to you. That's why I'm telling you, hey, do you speak in tongues? Do you pray in the Spirit? Time to get doing it. Time to start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying according to the Holy Ghost. Because what he's going to do, the waters that Jesus is talking about, the waters shall overflow the hiding place. It will begin to break things loose, and you'll be able to see things like you've never seen them before. I know when you've heard it 300 times from me, but here's 301, that when I came, I said, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. I never asked to be a preacher, never asked to be a preacher. But I prayed in tongues all the time. Well, as I was going home, I fell asleep in the car and I woke up praying in the Spirit. And Rosie looked at me, she goes, are you okay? I go, yeah, I'm fine. I said, how was I speaking along? She goes, no, you just started. And I said, okay. So I kind of settled to go back to sleep and I heard the Holy Spirit said, you were praying about it. You just didn't know you were praying about it. See, he uncovered something. That flow uncovered something. That flow of the Spirit uncovered this house for the kingdom of God. Do you know that? That flow uncovers things. Things that you are asking him about, you don't know about it. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost and watch him uncover those things. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, say, God, I want to baptize in the Holy Ghost. Because it is in that flow, he will begin to uncover those hidden things that he's placed within you, the inscrutable things, the things that you've never seen before. He says in his word, he goes, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of you, anybody, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he says, but he reveals them through what? By the Spirit. He reveals them by the Spirit. So as you pray, expect an unbreaking, expect a breaking down and an unveiling of what he has for you because it's there. It's real and it's coming. It's already in you. All you need is to step into it. Amen? Watch what he'll do with you because we are in a time, folks, that we've never, ever experienced before. And God is saying it's time. The body of Christ will work together. How many of you know? A lot of people say it's impossible for the body of Christ to work. We're always fighting. Well, guess what? The Holy Ghost is changing that. Amen? He's changing it. Not us. You can't change it. I've had guys tell me, yeah, I'm going to go to this church over there, and I'm going to go talk to them over there, and I'm going to go talk to them. You can't change it. Let the Holy Ghost change it. He'll do it. Amen? It's his church. Come on. Hallelujah. If you will, stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing what? The River. How many guys like that song, The River? Let's sing it with all your heart. Open up your mouth and sing it hard. Hallelujah. Hey, I like our service today. It was good. I think it was a good service. I mean, all of you folks coming up and speaking, come on, man. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I just thank you. Thank you, Father, that you, Father God, you, Holy Spirit, it's not by might, not by power, but it's by you, Holy Spirit. Break forth into the lives of your people. Father, as they open their hearts to you, Father, let those waters, Father God, unveil the things you have for them. Father, the things that you have purposed in their life, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming this morning. Sing this song with us and then we'll go home. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.